That was a blessing. Did you say amen? Amen. What a blessing. Well, as I prepared today for a message concluding and working through Matthew 18, the Lord's directed my thoughts and my heart to the first psalm. And I'm going to obey Him tonight and share with you a wonderful passage of Scripture that we have looked at on a few occasions here at Boiling Springs Baptist Church. But the first psalm, and it is a Bible passage that reveals a truth that we can never be reminded of enough. You see, the truths that make me right with God and the Christian that ought to be are not the deep, dark truths found in the crevices and nooks of the book of Revelation, but are simple truths that draw me close to the Lord. Now, the revelation is very important, and every part of God's Word is very important. But these simple truths we find in passages such as Psalm 1 are what we need. And if your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and your Christian life could use a little bit of improvement, and we're all pressing toward the mark for the prize, then I believe with my whole heart there's great truth for you in Psalm chapter number 1. And a goal set before us to be considered and part of the blessed of God. Psalm 1, if you look at it with me this evening. Psalm 1, the beginning of this psalm, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." There's a contrast in this passage of Scripture between two types of people. Number one is the blessed man, and number two is the ungodly. Now, the blessed man is a person that has the hand of God on their life. You know, it's important that we as God's people make it a goal that God has His hand in our life. The Lord's made it possible that we can sin against Him in our own will. You know, the Lord won't sin against your will. The Lord will not force you to do something that you don't want to do. You have the opportunity to choose. As a child, when I realized that I was lost and on my way to hell forever without a Savior, I had an opportunity to choose. When I heard the gospel that Jesus Christ was the only Savior and the only way to heaven, that I must personally pray and receive Him by faith as Savior, when I heard that truth and understood that I needed the Lord, I had an opportunity to accept Him or reject Him. I'm so thankful I chose the Lord. As I say often, that was a big yes in my life when I said yes to the Lord. But the Christian life is followed by a series of other yeses. Yes, Lord, this morning I will serve You. Yes, Lord, today I will serve You. Yes, Lord, tonight I will serve You. Yes. We say yes to the Lord. We should want the Lord in our life. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man." I want His blessing on my life. I want His guidance. I want His protection. I want the Lord to have His will and way in my heart and in my home. Blessed is the man. Boy, I like the idea of being blessed. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that a blessed man is like something. Look at the third verse. The blessed man is like what? The Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What's the blessed man like? David, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes these words and says, I'll tell you what a man that's blessed of God is like. He's like a strong, beautiful tree by the rivers of water. That tree represents so many wonderful things. The Bible says he's like a tree. A tree is a strong thing. A tree is of great benefit. He is like a tree planted. I love that word. I won't belabor the point, but this is not a tree that just grew up somewhere in the wild. The Lord says, a blessed man is like a tree planted. Do you know that God intentionally places His people in the right place at the right time for the right purpose? I want you to know something. I understand that Cody Sturgill only has one life to live. And I don't want to waste my days doing things that have no eternal value. And I don't want to waste my time being places that are not God's best. But I find in God's Word that if I will determine to be a blessed man, that I can be like a tree planted, intentionally placed in a certain place for a certain time, for a certain purpose. And I'm so thankful that I can trust the Lord this way. He says that a blessed man is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Something wonderful about a tree planted by the rivers of water. They never lack the nutrients and nutrition that they need. A tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Have you noticed this spring and summer that the trees and the shrubs have grown extra, extra, extra? I can tell you why. Because it has rained extra, extra, extra. If you've noticed the Charlie Brown Christmas tree out here, that thing has grown so much. Just this year, it seems like it's grown 2 or 3 feet. Why? Because it's been near the water. The Lord says that if you'll determine to be a blessed man, a blessed woman, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want you to know something. If you make a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way in your life, you'll always have the strength you need. You'll always have the nutrition you need. You'll always have the opportunity and the ability to flourish even in the driest of times. The Bible continues and says, this tree is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Oh, you know something? A blessed person, a Christian who is blessed of God, brings forth fruit. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want to be the kind of Christian that, like a tree, offers nutrition and help to the people that come around it. A tree that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, I like the idea of this tree. I like the idea of this tree. The Bible says that there is an alternative, though. The Bible says the blessed man is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. But look what the Bible continues to say in the fourth verse. The ungodly are not so. So if you like anything that the Bible describes the blessed Christian as, a tree planted by the rivers of water, then you need to listen very carefully for just a minute, because the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are nothing like this strong, beautiful tree that offers help to other people, that withstands the storms of life and the droughts and the troubles and trials. The Bible says the ungodly are not like that. But let's back up a minute. What's it mean to be ungodly? I'm a simple type person. I want to understand the Bible for what it says. The ungodly are not so. The blessed man and the ungodly are polar opposites. What's it mean to be godly? The definition for godly, a godly person, that has helped me more than anything in my Christian life, is this. A godly person is someone who regards God in their life. A godly person regards God in their life. When we make decisions, we say, Lord, what is it you'd have me to do? The way we live, the way we act, the things we do, our whole life has in consideration, what does God want me to do? You see, a godly person regards God in all of their decisions. A godly person regards God in all of their actions and attitudes. A godly person regards God in their life. What's it mean to be ungodly? Ungodly means that you do not regard God. You go about doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and it seems like it just doesn't dawn on you that you need to regard God. Ungodly. Oh, you know something? Sin causes us to become ungodly. Sin separates us and messes with our minds and prevents us from being the kind of blessed Christian that we ought to be, and it leads us down a road of ungodliness. The Bible says the ungodly are not like a tree. The ungodly are like something else. Look at the Bible says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. What a word picture the Bible gives us, and what an understanding we can see and gather from an ungodly person. The godly person is like a great big tree standing planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. What's chaff? Most of us know, but if you don't, I want to explain it to you. Chaff is the peeling on the outside of a grain of wheat. I was just in Kentucky yesterday, and as I drove through Kentucky, there are lots of wheat fields ready to harvest. Wheat is on a long stem, and a combine comes through and cuts the top of that stem off, and the head on top of that stem is the wheat, and inside of that head of wheat are little tiny grains of wheat. I'd never seen combined wheat until just a few years ago. It's interesting to me. In the pictures on the bread commercials and everything, you see wheat blowing in the wind, but you don't actually see what it is. They run wheat through a combine, and the combine uses screens and shakers and rubbers, and they call it threshing. And that wheat, beginning in that head, cut off out of the field, begins to be disturbed, and the peeling breaks loose, and the peeling, the dust, the chaff, falls through the screens onto the ground, and what's left in the combine is actual wheat that is ground up and made into flour. Now, the chaff, where does it end up? On the ground. The first time it rains real good, you can't even tell it's there, because chaff is worthless. Chaff is doomed. Chaff has no use at all. And God, in His infinite wisdom, says to you and to me, an ungodly person is just like the chaff, the peeling. What do you do with peeling? You've got a banana, you peel it. I've got the peeling in this hand. I've got the banana in this hand. What do I do with the peeling? 1, 2, 3. Throw it away. You're right. God very kindly in Psalm chapter number 1 says, if you do not regard God in your life, you're throwing your life away. You're throwing your influence away. You're wasting your life. And I must be reminded of this because I don't want to waste my life. And you say, well, you're the preacher. Yes, I am. But I am human. And it's very easy. It is very easy to get caught up in the busyness of this world and caught up in the things to accomplish and the things to do and leave God out. And may God help us not to be that kind of people. And may God help me not to be that kind of person. The Bible says there's two different people. There's the blessed man that's like the tree planted by the rivers of water. There is the ungodly that is like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Can you imagine that powdery substance? I imagine a very dry day when the wheat is being combined and that is just dust. And I found myself a handful of chaff, just dust. And I've piled it on my hand and it goes everywhere. That's what the Bible says your life is like if you're ungodly. Now, how in the world can I make sure that in God's eyes and in my life, I am not like the chaff, but I am like the tree? How? The Bible makes it very plain. It's so simple. It's so simple, but it's two simple truths that God's people must never forget. Look with me in Psalm 1. Verse 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now the Bible gives us a record of a progression. It's sin and it's progressively getting worse. The Bible says if you're going to be blessed, you are going to be cautious of these things. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We've got this progression. It goes from walking to sitting to standing. I'll give you an illustration. Heard it this week and I just liked it a whole lot. It's like the guy that's trying to lose a bunch of weight, but he's got a great weakness for Krispy Kreme donuts. As a matter of fact, he's doing his exercise in Hendersonville down Four Seasons Drive, and he's walking, and he sees Krispy Kreme in the distance. He's walking, and he's walking closer, and before you know it, oh wow, the hot light's on. This old boy's messed up. He's trying to lose weight, but you love Krispy Kreme, but where are you? I'm walking, doing exercise right in front of it. You have just walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Before you know it, the old boy is standing there outside the window looking in. Ooh, the donuts are coming down the conveyor line. They just flipped over into the icing. It's amazing. He's gone from walking to standing. And before you know it, the old boy's walked inside. He's sitting down and he's got two boxes partaking. You know what he's done? He's just fallen off the boat. He's fallen off the wagon. I like to help people who struggle because all people are that way. Some people worse than others. It blows my mind. A guy tells me, "Preacher, pray for me. I just fell off the wagon." You fell off the wagon. The guy's got trouble with alcoholism. He's a drunkard according to Scripture. I said, "Well, where in the world were you when you fell off the wagon?" "At the bar." "Well, you dummy." You know what he did? He walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He stood in the way of sinners. And he sat down to see the scornful. "I sinned." "Well, where were you?" "You were at the place that gives you and brings you the most temptation." God's Word says a blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners, and he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. You see, if you want to be blessed of God and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you know what you have to do? It's so simple, and it's the first of 2 points for this message tonight. Stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. There are things that tempt us all. Your sins, not my sin. And the thing that just easily besets me is not the thing that so easily besets you. But you know what keeps you away from God. It may be a mouth. It could be anything. You could fill in the blank. What is it that keeps, that is your sin that you struggle with? If you want to be blessed of God, stay away from sin. Don't get caught again. Don't get caught up again. If you're tempted, stay clean. Stay clean. I want you to know something. If you want to be blessed of God, you must stay away from sin. Stay away. There's never a time in life where we are not tempted to sin. There's always things that can prevent us from being the Christians we ought to be. There are always attitudes that separate us from God. And if God's people are going to be blessed and not ungodly, then they must stay far away from sin. Stay away from the temptation. Stay away from the beginning so that you do not reap the end of sin. A blessed man must stay away from sin. And number two, verse number two. The Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night." It's so elementary, but so profound. If we are going to be blessed of God, we must stay away from sin and we must stay in God's Word. Look what the Bible says in the second verse. His delight. You know what? The more you read God's Word and study God's Word, the more you will love God's Word. You say, "I just have a hard time understanding it." Well, you can't understand God's Word if you spend 2 minutes a week or 10 minutes a week. You can't understand God's Word if you're not willing to put forth some effort. The Bible says that God's people should delight in God's Word. The more time we spend with God's Word, the more we want it. We create a taste in our mouths for the precious milk of the Word of God, for the strong meat of the Word of God, and the Bible changes our lives. God's people need to delight in God's Word. You say, "I've heard this 100 times, but I've never found somebody who falls in love with their Bibles and consistently and persistently reads and studies God's Word in an effort to know God better, who does not get victory over sin." I know that's a strong statement. But if God's Word is a priority in your life and you delight in it, guess what happens? You will have victory. The Bible says His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. God's people are to delight in God's Word. God's people are to meditate in God's Word. I like this word, meditate. Meditate is not just a quick glancing over in order to say that I've read my Bible today. Meditate is not that at all. Meditate has to do with considering and reconsidering and reconsidering and thinking about and praying over God's Word. We're to meditate on God's Word. I love this illustration of the word meditate. Anytime I come to it, I probably talk about it, and that's okay. Meditate. What's it mean to meditate? It's the exact same word that would have been used, the original word is the exact same word that would have been used to describe a cow chewing her cud. If you're a farm boy or a farm girl, this is not absurd to you. You understand. Have you ever noticed an old cow, she'll be picking away and she'll eat and eat and eat, and she'll find herself a nice shady spot and lay down, and there's no food anywhere, but that old cow is sitting there going, they do that all day long. Anytime they're not picking, they're chewing. Anytime they're not chewing, they're picking. That's what they do. It'd be a rough life, wouldn't it? Just eat all the time. But a cow, the way God designed a cow and its digestive system, it literally picks grass, swallows it. I don't mean to be graphic or gross, but regurgitates that food that they picked. They chew it back up, swallow it again, regurgitate it again, chew it back up, swallow it again. And this is how God has designed their digestive system. They keep bringing it up and chewing on it some more. And when the Bible says that God's people who are blessed must delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. You know what He's saying? God's people should treat God's Word like chewing cud. We've read it. We've picked it up from the Word of God. And we keep bringing it up and thinking about it, praying over it, and bringing it up and thinking about it and praying over it. Because if we will meditate on God's Word, we will get all the nutrition that God intended for us from it. That's God's will. How are we to do it? We're to meditate on God's Word. We use this excuse, I can't memorize Scripture. I'm too old for that. I can't memorize Scripture. I just don't have that kind of mind. Let me tell you something. As you read your Bible and your daily devotions, you ought to ask the Lord to highlight certain Scriptures. And when God does exactly what He will do, He highlights truth in His Word. You ought to take a 3x5 card and write it down and keep it close to your heart and pull it out and read it and understand it and be fed of God. Because the Bible teaches us, if you want to be blessed, and there's two things you must do. You must stay away from sin, and you must stay in God's Word. It's simple. It's simple. But since Adam and Eve in the garden, man's issue has been the same. Adam sinned. Eve sinned. Adam and Eve misapplied and misinterpreted God's Word, and sin entered the human race. And ever since, people have been doing the same thing. It's very simple. If we are going to be blessed of God, then we must stay away from sin and stay in God's Word. And you and I, as God's people, we must commit again. We must commit again to walk with God and to do these two simple things: stay away from sin and stay in God's Word. Let's pray.